Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Soul Focused Radio. This is your host, Martin Friedman, and I'm flying solo today. There's been a lot going on, and due to schedules and other things, Cindy and Martina could not join me today. Also, I want to say that the reason why we had reruns for the last 2 weeks is because there's been a lot of travel, a lot of work. It's been awesome because we have been bringing the Soul Focused Way and creating human solidarity to people all over the country. We've been going coast to coast and staying extremely busy. And then also, I have been dealing with some health issues with my mom and have been helping her out as I can. So it just made it so we weren't able to record for 2 weeks. So I just wanted to tell you, our listeners, our family, what's going on. But it's good news because we are spreading the word of Soul Focus Group all over the country right now. Today's episode is very special to me. It is an interview with somebody who is a friend of mine and a colleague. I say friend, but I've only known Jackie in the COVID era, so we've never actually met in person. But by working together, having conversations, I was actually a guest on her podcast last year. We've been able to build relationship. And I think Jackie's a very, very special human being. She's very courageous. She's going to share a story with you all that involves a trigger warning. Early in this podcast episode, Jackie will share a story that took place in her family. And she tells the truth. She says exactly what happened. So I want to warn anybody, and it has to do with sexual abuse. And so I want to warn anybody that if that's a trigger for you, you may want to skip this episode. Just want to make sure you know that. And also, if you listen through that part, please listen to the whole podcast. Don't stop there, because what happens after that, in my opinion, is pretty awesome and pretty beautiful. Very, very much represents who we are and what we do at the Soul Focus Group. And I believe you will feel the same way as our Soul Focus family. So with that, I encourage you to listen once again. Trigger warning early in the podcast. There's a story that might be triggering to some. And now that I've said that to you a few different times, here we go.
So have you ever heard of a term called groundwater? Groundwater is another word we use at the Soul Focus Group that means subconscious programming. From the ages of 0 to 7, we are subconsciously programmed. So much information and choices and decisions are downloaded into our subconscious mind, and we begin to start living that life. And even though that life we're living is not the life we chose for ourselves, and it's not until we understand the impact of the groundwater, what the groundwater really is, that we begin to wake up to our own lives and begin to choose what we want for ourselves. At the Soul Focus Group, we bring you to that consciousness so that you can begin to choose the life you want to live for yourself.
All right. Well, I want to welcome our guest in. Hello, Jackie. How you doing?
I'm phenomenal, Martin. I'm so happy to be here.
And I am so happy to have you here. I was really hoping that Martina and Cindy could also be on with us. Unfortunately, their schedules just didn't match up. So it's just you and I, which actually is cool too, because I don't know if our listeners know this or not, but you had me on your podcast earlier this year, and it was an awesome experience for me to have that one-on-one conversation with you. So I'm looking forward to having another one.
Me too. I'm so grateful. That was absolutely one of my favorite episodes, a chance to learn so much about your path and just find these amazing connections between us.
Absolutely. Yep. I agree 100%. So why don't you, even as we start, why don't you give a plug for your podcast so our listeners can go and find that episode and hear what else you do?
Oh, thank you. So my podcast is called Through Inspired Eyes. We speak about healing travel, mental wellness, and how to be inclusive in travel.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So definitely listeners, check that out. We'll put that plug in again at the end. But just want to make sure that you all, you know, see what Jackie does. So Jackie, just tell us a little bit about who you are. Let's get the story of Jackie going here at the beginning of our podcast.
It's so interesting. I'm stopping myself from telling you what I do, when you ask me who I am. I am a person who loves to grow, somebody who is dedicated over a decade to their healing journey and continues to recognize that we are always healing. We are always shifting and changing and honoring that journey, not looking at it as this end date or why aren't I here or any of those things, but really just to see the jewels of possibility. I'm a natural optimist, can be a little Pollyanna sometimes, but I think that's part of my charm. I live in Boston with my husband and our 14-year-old daughter, and am a solopreneur.
Can you say, what does that mean, solopreneur?
So it is an entrepreneur who only has one person on their team, just me. So everything that I do myself, with the exception of contract help throughout the year, I would say, on certain aspects of the business. I am a guide in terms of the mental wellness, self-love journey. And I do that through coaching, speaking, workshops, and my podcast.
Awesome. What would you say, like, to our listeners, because what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be talking about healing from trauma and how that relates to travel. But how would you just start with, like, what is the wellness message? What is sort of the connective thread in all of the things that you do, the speaking that you do, the coaching that you do, and the podcast? What would you say is your sort of primary connecting message?
I would say it's a message of self-love, self-worth, and really honoring your mental wellness. That's something that can be ignored, can be shamed, can be pushed under the rug. And if we really look within ourselves, if we have that chance to get to be our best, understand the ins and outs and grow, we're going to be better for everyone around us, including in all of those roles that we typically list out as who we are.
And how do you define, you know, for, if you could define for our listeners, what is mental wellness to you? What does that look like?
That's a great question. So mental wellness came into an official definition a couple of years ago through the Global Wellness Institute, and really showing the difference between mental health and mental wellness, because you can be thriving in your mental health and still be languishing in your mental wellness. And mental health has to do with a diagnosis. Mental wellness does not. So again, you don't have to be diagnosed with PTSD or depression or anxiety, all the things that I have. You can have none of those things that you have to worry about and still be struggling with your mental wellness. So it is a sense of calm, joy, gratitude. And these are these elements that keep you present.
I like that. I like that. And you know, I think one of the things I'm thinking of is it just makes so much sense that, you know, that we at Soul Focus Group found you and you found us, because there's so many similarities, you know, especially in the idea that, you know, we have to be right within ourselves in order to bring about the change that we want in the world. You know, that in so many ways that this, you know, this journey that we're on is an inside out journey. And when I say journey, I mean, you know, to make the world a better place. And for many of us, especially those of us that were in the social justice movement or are in the social justice movement, we have this idea that it's an outside in process, that we have to change the world in order for us to be okay. And what I'm hearing from you is that there's a lot of alignment with what we say, that in order for us to change the world, we first have to make sure that we're doing the work on ourselves we need to do.
Absolutely. I think we can all potentially shine for short periods of time without that, but we're going to burn out. I know for myself, my healing journey began because I ignored it for so long. And I ran around it and it hit me in the face.
Hmm. Yeah. You want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, sure. So I fell into a really deep depression about 15 years ago. And it was triggered by a visit to Colorado where my family lives. I had moved to Boston on my own and went back to visit, and I was cornered by my grandfather. He wanted me to come into his office to show me something. And I got in there, and he had this picture of me set as his desktop background. And it was a photo from honestly probably a month or so beforehand when I was visiting an aunt in New York. And I thought it was so strange. Like, why did she send that to him? And then why am I there on display like that? It gave me, I want to say the EBGBs.
Sure.
And he said, you know, I miss you so much. And I said, oh, I miss you too. He says, I think about you all the time. And being the polite woman that I was raised to be, I said, I think about you too. And he said, I think about when you were 4 years old, asleep on the floor, and you were wearing these gray cotton panties. And it took everything in me not to take them off of you.
Oh my gosh.
And in that moment, I froze. And I've learned that freezing is my trauma response, one of them, freezing and appeasing. And it wasn't until a cousin of mine came in and said that my sister was looking for me that I could move. And I had her leave with me to go run an errand and immediately told her what happened. And she was the only one who knew for quite some time. And I knew I needed to get myself into therapy. So I started therapy. I was in talk therapy, kind of that traditional, what we were raised to think of, where somebody has a notepad and doesn't say anything to you. And at one point, probably about 5 months in, he recommended that I go on antidepressants. And I didn't. And I waited too long to take the advice because my panic and PTSD got so high, it was debilitating. And I remember my primary care physician at the time told me I should take vitamins. And I couldn't get through an hour without a panic attack.
Wow.
And it was really terrifying. There are moments now, all these years later, that I think back and I don't know if the things that I thought or felt were real, if they were really happening to me, or if it was my paranoia that was taking over. But because of that trauma, because of him reigniting that, it pushed me into facing my truth and healing from it. It pushed me to slow down. I was always on the go. At the time, I was in my 20s, and I was relatively new to this city, and I was out all the time, and I made all these friends, and I had my A group, my B group, my C group. I you know, went out for clubs. I went out for coffee. Oh, wow. I went out for breakfast. I was always going. And I realize now all that going was avoiding being still with my thoughts. But I was forced into stillness. I actually got to a point where I had to call for help. My mother flew out from Colorado to stay with me for a month. And I got her there. The very next morning, I passed out in the shower, having a panic attack that led me to pass out and hit my head, and immediately got up and thought, I need to get ready for work. And she looked at me and was like, no, I don't know what you're thinking. You're not going to work. We're going to the hospital. And I was so terrified to call in. I didn't know what to do, what to say. I didn't think I could take a day for myself, even though I had just passed out and hit my head. I clearly needed support and finally was able to do that. Fingers trembling, hands shaking, asking her, what am I supposed to say to them? I don't know what to put in this email, to then get my medication sorted. And that took about a month of getting that balance right. So I was on something that was a higher dosage, and she was there to cook, help me with my dog, be there. So I wasn't alone. And I've been on the journey ever since.
Wow. I mean, thank you. You know, you definitely, you got me speechless a little bit, which is a rare thing to do. And I just want to, you know, really thank you from the bottom of my heart that, you know, for you to share so vulnerably with myself and our listeners. It's a really, really powerful story. And, you know, I've shared with our listeners, and I've shared with you. I also, you know, have sexual trauma, sexual abuse in my past. And, it's something that you and I have bonded on. And I just also want to be honest and hold that, you know, the way you told that story was very impactful on me, you know? And, so I just want to, I really want to just pause for just a moment and, you know, for myself and for our listeners to just pause for a moment and just absorb and, absorb what you said, and also just to send you love, you know, for sharing that with us in the way that you did.
Thank you. I'm taking it in.
There is nothing more powerful than communication, because we all have to do it, and we're all doing it on some level all the time. When we are talking to ourselves or thinking, that's just another word for talking to ourselves, which means that we are doing what? Communicating with ourselves. When we are verbally speaking to other people, our body, or when our body language is demonstrating communication. Communication is so important because the world runs off of communication. So when you power up your communication, you essentially power up your life. At the Soul Focus Group, we invite everybody that comes to really delve into powering up their communication, transforming the way they listen, transforming the way they speak, transforming the way they connect to people, because that is where our power is. Power up your communication, people. We all need it.
You know, one of the things that you made me think about, Jackie, is when I was 19, I took this course in college, and it was on PTSD, and it was at the very beginning of the, you know, of the understanding of PTSD. This was around 1983, and I think the first DSM, you know, had just been written, and it was, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists were just starting to recognize that trauma at any age, you know, if it's unhealed, it continues to repeat, right? In this post-traumatic stress syndrome, it was called at the time, post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, it's changed its names, but I was very fortunate to take this class with one of the psychologists who helped pioneer the idea of it. And, we read a book, and I've been trying to find this book. I can never find it again, but it was written by a woman who was in Vietnam, and she was a nurse in Vietnam, and she had been raised Mennonite in Pennsylvania. And the things that she experienced in Vietnam, basically, you know, she said it wasn't even just psychological, or emotional damage, but it was like, she called it philosophical damage. You know, she said it attacks the philosophy, the core philosophy of that you've had your whole life of being alive. And I heard that in what you were saying, that it just kind of shakes you at your foundation. And the other thing that really reminded me of her story was, she coined this term I'd never heard before. It was called action junkie. And she said for the first 7 years after she got back from Vietnam, she was never stopped moving, you know, barely slept. She was a skier. She was, you know, constantly on the move. And when you said you had your A, your B, and your C group, and just how, like, you kept yourself busy. And then she broke both her legs skiing and was in traction for 6 months and couldn't move. And that's when everything came back to her. You know, it was in that stillness. So I was thinking about that story and I was thinking about, oh, Jackie was an action junkie. Mm-hmm. You know, that's exactly what you did. You kept busy so that you wouldn't have to face your trauma. And I do that too. I've done that my whole life up until the beginning of COVID, which I think for many of us, it made us face a lot of things. But, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you because that's what came up for me when you were talking and, just how powerful that is and how powerful it is to share with our listeners.
It really is. I resonated with that philosophy disruption. I remember thinking, that's not the family I was raised in, right?
Mm.
That's not who we were. That's not what we're supposed to be. And why is it different for me? And it wasn't different just for me, but I was the only one holding on to that vision, old story that I wanted to feel. And recognizing that that wasn't the reality, it's still really jarring.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that I started my business in the first place is I spent my career in travel and I started that healing journey and it was very lonely. And I ended up, besides being in therapy and having different therapists throughout the years, reading so much and learning so much about gratitude and about making happiness a choice and what that looks like. And eventually I was introduced to wellness and healing travel. And I thought, if I have been in this industry all this time and had no idea it existed, how in the world can anybody else? And since I've explored it and continue to explore it, you're never really done. I've been introduced to a lot of the tools that I had to study on my own. So that would have been quicker. And so much else, right? The beauty of other cultures and how they have been healing, how they have been looking at our ancestral trauma and recognizing things need to be healed where, whether it's in the States or who knows, in different places culturally, I can't really speak to that. We shut down. And that's opened up my world. It's helped my own healing in so many different spaces. And there's so much potential in that.
So you're saying that you feel like the travel can facilitate healing because of what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm hearing you say that part of how travel can facilitate healing is the connections that you get with people of other cultures, and the feeling of it is really what I was getting from you.
Mm, absolutely. There has to be an intention. There has to be an openness on our side when we go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that the way I travel has changed significantly because I would spend so much time wrapped up in what I was scared of for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being open to learn. When I look at different cultures in terms of healing, I've been fortunate enough to spend time at immersive wellness resorts. And those are resorts that are built to help you heal. Most of the time, it's an emotional, mental, spiritual aspect. There is movement, and some may have more things dedicated in that space, but it's not like physical therapy. So I want to be clear on that.
Right, right.
But for example, when I went to the Yucatan, I had participated in a Temescal ritual.
Tell us about that.
Mayan ritual.
Hmm.
I brought my husband to that, signed him up. He had no idea what we were walking into, but that's how I've learned to do things now. And we were led through this with a shaman who did a beautiful ceremony ahead of time around the elements, talked to us about the four levels, the four doors that we were going to go through in this experience. And in a Temescal, it is basically like it almost looks like a cement igloo. And it's like a steam room. There's a fire in there. And the steam itself, it goes through these four levels of your body. You know, your skin, down to your muscles, down to your blood, down to your bones. And then it also opens you up in different ways, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and also at that surface. So as you go through this process, she calls it the different doors, and each door has a different level. You go deeper and deeper and deeper. And you're in there setting intentions, and you're letting go of the things that don't serve you anymore. And you're calling in your ancestors, and you're getting the support of the abuelas, mm-hmm. who are holding you and are there for you to heal. And my husband, he had an experience that was really powerful for him, and it brought him this level of self-trust when we left. And for me, I was releasing the shame that I felt from my trauma, this shame and guilt of it happening, and also me sharing what happened eventually. And that release was so powerful. I have not felt that since, but I left that in the Temazcal.
That's beautiful. I mean, my first thought when you talk about that is just wondering why we can't, you know, why that can't be part of like something that every human being goes through, you know? Mm-hmm. Just trying to think of what this world would be like. It just hit me like, what would this world be like if that was like a required thing, you know, for everybody to go through at some point in their life? I don't know. I know it's probably unlikely, but it just hit me how, and I guess I should ask you, like, when you say you left it there, like, what did you notice was different in your life? What shifted for you as you walked through the world after you went through that experience?
Well, I felt lighter. I will tell you, it was interesting. After the experience, and I want to say we were there for about 4 hours. Mm-hmm. David was energized. He was raring to go, so excited, wanted to talk through everything. And I was done. I was spent. I wanted to either sleep or just be in silence. I had nothing left to give. And about 24 hours later, I felt really back to center. But that shame didn't surface again. I didn't hold myself responsible for the chaos and the hurt and the pain that story caused. And I had felt before like sharing it is me hurting other people instead of the fact that he was the one that hurt me. I didn't do anything wrong. But the message that I was telling myself, and I will be very honest, I have heard from other people, was that I'm the one causing pain by talking about it.
Man, I gotta when I'm hearing you saying that, I'm like, man, wow, because you're hitting on something that is so deeply personal to me, and also, you know, something that I think about a lot. And, you know, I've shared many times I'm in Adult Children of Alcoholic and Dysfunctional Families. I'm in that program. And there's a lot of conversations around shame. And one of the sticking points for me always is like, why do we feel shame for the things that adults did to us when they were in positions of power and we weren't, you know? And like that just blows me away. That's kind of the way this world, like, you know, I'm gonna swear, but that's like the mind fuck that this world puts on us, is that we feel shame for the external things that we didn't do. Like that's a big one for me. That one really struck a chord with me, Jackie.
And you know, the thing about it too is it still shows up in adulthood, right? Yeah. It still shows up between people. It shows up in professional settings. You're supposed to let things slide because whatever, he's been at the company forever, or he's three levels above you, or she didn't really mean it when she said that to you.
Right.
But it's not okay. We're supposed to all of a sudden just tuck it in. and make other people feel better about the cruelty.
Yeah. And I would say, I really think that pattern starts with what you and I are talking about. This starts in childhood, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, and even a lot of what you just, a lot of the quick scenarios that you just gave are really about, you know, some type of power differential. And, you know, again, the fact that it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I know it because I've felt it my whole life. So I know it's real. So when I say it doesn't make any sense, it's like, I'm rebellious and resistant when I really examine the idea that we should ever feel shame for something that someone else did to us. And I also know it's the way that this world has set us up. It's the way the ego sets us up. It absorbs the information. And then, you know, we've been trained to internalize and blame ourselves for things that happen outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons why our world is such a mess right now, because that's part of where we're coming from, all of us.
Absolutely.
It was Carl Jung, famous psychologist and psychiatrist, I think he was a student of Sigmund Freud, who once said, when asked by one of his students, what is an ego? He said, the ego is this. He said, the world will ask you who you are, and if you say to the world you don't know, then the world will proceed to tell you who you are. And who the world tells you that you are becomes your ego. Your ego is who you are trying to be for other people. At the Soul Focus Group, we spend a lot of time recognizing that for years we have been leading off by trying to please people, and we have to reduce the size of our ego to get back into our soul. There's so many beautiful lessons for us to learn from our ego. It's not a negative thing, it is a something to learn thing. At the Soul Focus Group, we learn how to reduce our ego, which translates to us reducing our performative behavior and really start showing up authentic.
Man, yeah, that's a heavy idea, right? And the amount of time and energy. You know, recently I was at a ACA meeting, and the reading was on sexual abuse. You know, every now and then we do these daily readings, these daily meditations, and every now and then some of the readings, you know, it's like I don't fully connect to, and then some of them are right on. And I just remember as I was sharing, like, you know, I definitely believe, and I think you believe this too, Jackie, that even the things that we wish didn't happen to us, you know, help shape us and make us who we are and allow us to reach the world in ways that are helpful to the world that we might not have if those things hadn't happened to us.
Yes.
And you believe that, right?
Absolutely.
And I do too. And in that moment that I was sharing, I was like, okay, I believe those things. And sometimes I just like, why did you all have to do that shit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like really? Really? Like, and I get it. You know, I know stuff was done to my parents. I know it. I mean, I really do know the story, and I get it. And it's like, then it's like, well, why couldn't you have just healed? Like, mm-hmm. why couldn't you have put the time and energy into healing that I've been putting into my life? Because if you had put the time and energy into healing into your life, I wouldn't have gone through what I went through. And then I wouldn't have spent so much time and energy in my life, in my adult life, trying to make up for and figure out these things that had happened. And something that you said that really resonated with me is that one of the most damaging aspects of all abuse, but I think especially sexual abuse in many ways, especially if it occurs in ways that you didn't even know it was occurring, and then your family tells you, you know, or you grow up just thinking that everything is really good with my family. Like you said, you had that dissonance, like, this isn't my family. My family's this whole other thing. And that's the part that most of us spend a whole lot of time and energy trying to recover from. And again, I am glad I am who I am. And that includes all my experiences. And there are sometimes, Jackie, when I'm just like, damn, what could I have been if I hadn't had to spend so much time and energy in my life on the impacts of something happened to me, and then there being denial around it, and a whole vibe in my family that I knew and I felt, but my family denied. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel that. I remember worrying and being terrified that it was all in my head, that none of it was real. And am I hurting other people because of something that I just thought up? Right? I went to every therapist I went to. I've been in therapy for 15 years. Everyone I went to, I reviewed it again, just in case. really, because I thought, what if I'm wrong? And my sisters, I have two older sisters, both of them have been through other things that have happened in childhood that I won't speak to.
Yeah.
But just this week, for the first time, I thought to myself, wow, how strong and powerful and kind are we at our core, at the soul level, that we have turned out the way that we are. It is not fair. It's not okay. And man, we're powerful. I know that years ago, I would have just thought, why? And I would have been really sad. And there's still a little bit of grieving over what I thought it was and thought it would be. And that picture perfect Beaver Cleaver family that I was sold. And I'm better in everything that I do because of how I've healed, actually. I can't say because of what I've been through, because I had a lot of chaos because of that, but because I've healed, because and continue to, that I don't look at it and go, it's a closed book, we're all good now. You know, I'm open to that recognition. And that, I think, is what makes me a better everything. And it's part of my purpose to create change because of that.
Right. Yeah. You know, I appreciate you saying that, because I think I appreciate that clarification, because I'm definitely not saying I'm glad I went through the things that I went through. I'm definitely not like happy about it. And I think the way you just framed it, that I guess I'll just speak for myself, not for you. I'll speak for myself, and I'll say that the healing journey that I've been on, you know, makes me a better human being in this world, and more capable of helping other people. And I wouldn't be on the particular healing journey I'm on if those things hadn't happened to me. And so I know that this is my life as it is, and a huge part of my process is being in acceptance and not trying to rewrite stories. I think I spent a whole lot of my life. No, I don't think. I know. I spent a whole lot of my life daydreaming and spending time trying to rewrite my story. And that was before I was even in touch with what happened to me. And, you know, I had a family member confirm, you know, later in life what had happened. But I spent so much of my life like daydreaming and fantasizing and making up, you know, different stories for my life. That's how I used to handle what happened to me. Mm. And being able to transition to a journey, a healthy journey, a pathway of healing. You helped bring clarity to me that's really what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the fact that I have been able to discover a pathway of healing instead of trying to rewrite the past. That's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to rewrite the past, which is what I used to do with this daydreaming and fantasizing, it's now a path to be in acceptance and healing and not continue to carry the impacts of that with me in everything that I do, you know, and knowing how to do that, having a vision on how to do that is an incredibly powerful skill set to have. And you clearly have that skill set.
Mm, thank you. And yeah, I agree. I mean, that's something that we share, and a beauty and a strength that you bring to this world.
Yeah. I think I just spent so much of my life in regret, and in order for me to not be in regret, I have to be in a state of acceptance that my life, you know, it did happen the way that it happened, and I'll never be able to change what did happen. The only thing I can change now, and I hear this from you too, is how I process that, how, you know, the things of letting go and creating something new, you know, breaking cycles too. That's the other thing, you know, that we get to do, is we get to break those cycles.
Absolutely. And the more that we do that, the more it naturally helps others. You know, when he died, when my first abuser died, it was August 2020.
Mm.
And I remember saying to my sister, I will speak about this one day. Mm. I'm going to be on a stage. There will be a space where I'll be able to help people by sharing this. It's not going to go to waste. It's not just going to be something horrible that happened to me. It's going to help people. Mm. And within a week, I had received an email from a podcaster and business owner who I knew and respected, who was asking for women speakers in her first virtual conference called Brave Bold Beyond that were looking to change the status quo. And I applied and I spoke and I told my story that October. It came sooner than I expected, but it was part of the plan from the universe. It was helping to move into this space of sharing. And the amazing thing that happens when you can do that, when you can be vulnerable, is others feel seen. Those that have been sitting in the dark, have been feeling that shame, they can know they're not alone.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love the idea of, you know, that everything is to be used and nothing is to be wasted, right? I love that. And I think that's sometimes I feel like I spend a lot of my life wasting experiences. And, that's a disservice, not just to ourselves, but it's a disservice to the world. So I'm incredibly thankful to you that you made that decision, you know, that brave decision to share, because I know you're impacting people and I know this podcast is going to impact people too when they listen to it. You know, just how brave and also honest you are too, that it's still something, you know, it's still a healing journey that you're on, right? It's not just like a one time healed and everything is good, but it's a continuing journey.
Absolutely. It's amazing to me, the layers and the brilliance of our minds and our unconscious, because once I was able to really release that shame, actually, Martin, this happened. When I was really able to release that, something else came up. And it was something I wasn't ready before to look at and know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I needed that protection beforehand so that I could get through this, right? So our mind does really amazing things. And then it shows us as we continue to go through these levels that we've done it before. So it's going to be okay. We're not going to fall apart. And if we do, we're going to build back up stronger. But I'm incredibly grateful for what you do at Soul Focus Group, on Soul Focused Radio. I am an avid listener and always learn.
Thank you. And thank you for doing this. It's funny because I don't, you know, we sort of had this topic of travel and healing, and I really appreciated you telling the story of the shamanistic ritual that you went through that was helpful. But really, I don't know what I'm going to call this episode, because it happened very naturally and organically. And, what I'm really feeling more than anything is that this is really about release of shame and, release of self-blame, and how that shame and that self-blame leads to all of those hyphenated self-words that, self-sabotage, self-hate, self-loathing. I mean, there's all of these things that many of us deal with because of that unreleased and unhealed shame, and how we turn it inward on ourselves. And, that really feels to me like the theme, that you've gifted us, that you've gifted to us today.
Thank you. That resonates, because once we do that, then we move to the really great things of self-love and self-worth, but that shame gets in our way of doing that.
Exactly. And one of the things we teach at Soul Focus Group, we teach the genius study, which shows how we go from 98% of us being, testing at genius level at 5 to 2% of us testing at genius level at 20. And, there's been a lot of, discussion around that test, that what happens is shame, that we start to shame our children. We shame our children when they, at school and at home, if they don't, quote unquote, know the right answer to things, and it starts to stunt our creativity. And part of what I felt in that moment when you described that healing ritual was, if we all went through rituals like that, how much more of a creative world we would be, because we would start to let go of that shame, and that shame and that fear, that unresolved, unhealed trauma is part of what is making this world such a challenging place to be in right now.
100%. percent. Part of my vision for my company is really that people are work on their own healing. When you do that, it increases your emotional intelligence. It opens you up and you can create a kinder, more inclusive world.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Oh my gosh. Yes, man. Thank you so much, Jackie. This has been incredible. Like you definitely, you took me on a journey. For talk about traveling and healing from trauma. I traveled on a journey with you today. And I, you know, I spent a little time this morning just being open to whatever this conversation was going to take us instead of trying to steer it. And I'm grateful that I did that because I think where you took us is a very, very, very powerful and hopeful healing place. And by the way, we all, I think this world needs a little more Pollyanna, and especially to be Pollyannish after, you know, experiencing what you've experienced in your life. That's actually like a win to me. You know what I mean? To be able to be optimistic and to be Pollyannish after experiencing what you've experienced, I think is a beautiful example and a light for all of us.
Thank you. That really means a lot. I'm so honored to know you and to be here and share this space with you.
As to honor my father, I would say versa visa. That's what he always said. He said, because he believed in it. He said, if we're saying vice versa, we might as well say versa vice. So I feel the same about you very much. It was an honor to have you here. I want you to plug your podcast and anything else, any websites or anything that you want our listeners to partake in the solopreneur world of Jackie Roby.
Thank you. Well, my podcast again is Through Inspired Eyes, and it is everywhere. My company is Inspired Journey Consulting. You will find me most active on LinkedIn and on Instagram at Inspired Journey Consulting. And other than that, connect, say hello. I'm always happy to have a chat.
Awesome. Awesome. And we're blessed to have you, you know, partnering up with us too. And I'm excited for what that's going to bring, you know, in the future as both of our works continue to expand. So thank you again, Jackie. I'm sending you love and light and happiness. And you and I will talk soon.
Thanks, Martin.
When you come to the Soul Focus Group, you come to an acknowledgement that there has been injuries done to us from all these different forms of oppression. Injuries that have impacted our subconscious mind, our heart, our spirit, our very soul. So at the Soul Focus Group, we recognize that and we focus on healing. Healing, the return or the recovery of our connections to our healthy self, our beautiful thinking mind. We want you to come join us in a movement of healing all around the world to restore us back to our rightful state. At the Soul Focus Group, we heal.
Man, it was an experience. Gonna be honest, I thought I was prepared. Actually, I had prepared myself to be open. And as I say in the podcast, and maybe I needed to prepare myself to just be a little bit more open to whatever was going to come, because it definitely, that story definitely had a level of impact on me. And I loved the conversation. I loved how brave and open Jackie was. And I love how we were able to work in, what Jackie does, what we do. And, it's just really, it is really beautiful. And thank you for coming on the journey with us. Thank you for listening all the way through. Thank you for being partners with us, being part of our family as we heal, as we grow, as we do our internal healing and how that is going to lead to our external healing. We know because you listen to us that you are invested in that as well. So having said that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always want you to do, which is to stay safe, stay well, and most of all, stay soul focused.